Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
On a Tuesday, Paul Iander here, 6.345 feet away, socially distant. On the other side of the desk is my sister from another mister, Lindsey Brown.
What is up, my dudes and Paulito?
It is a fine Tuesday, a sunshiny Tuesday for most. There are a couple of people who are not happy today, and we'll get into that in a little bit. Also, stick around at 3:18. We are going to dive into NBA free agency and tomorrow's NBA draft with former NBA GM Ryan McDonough, RDC Sports NBA Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. And we'll find out how far some of these trades in the last 24 hours will go for some of these teams as well.
Right, a lot of moving parts of the musical chairs that are the NBA superstars.
Yes, lots of assessing the teams and options and what may happen here as lots of movement, player movement in the NBA. They're figuring, you know what? We've been silent long enough. We need to take some of the headlines back.
Right? It's there was a little bit of a lull here, but it's kind of been the story when it comes to free agency, although it hasn't technically started yet for the NBA. You know, the NHL, there hasn't been a whole lot of news to glean from other than the jersey reveals that we've kind of gone through over the last couple days. So everybody is searching for some changes.
Yes, but certainly we have plenty of things to talk about, and talking about change gets us to our five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown.
So good at this.
Powered by Radio.com Sports.
Proud of you.
Number one.
All right, so the Mountain West Conference has set its basketball schedule for a second time this season. Because of all the COVIDs and whatnot, they have decided to update the men's and women's conference slates to essentially means, and this is the twist. Each team will have home and away matchups. They're going to reduce a number of travel by basically just designating five teams for home matchups, in which they will play games on non-consecutive nights. They'll play maybe like on a Monday or a Wednesday for men and a Tuesday and a Thursday for women. They will play five of these teams at home, two games apiece, and then they will play five teams on the road, two games apiece for a total of 20.
Yeah, it's kind of like a college hockey style type of scheduling where you're playing, you know, the team twice in a row over a span of a few days. And basically, you know, the men and women teams are going to be playing the same schools each weekend. It's just, where are they? So if UNLV and UNR were both playing here for the men's programs, that means UNLV and UNR women's programs will be playing up in Reno. So seems like a pretty good way to piece this thing together, and hopefully it's a sound plan. But everything across the board, time TBA.
Yeah, that's very true. Waiting on some selection procedures when it comes to television, and the conference schedule actually starts early in December.
That's like 2 weeks from now.
Right, which is the earliest we've ever seen it, and also ends on the date of February the 27th, actually March the 1st, which is a Monday. But the conference tournament doesn't start until March the 10th, so they've built in some time in case they need to do a few makeups, in case a few things happen,
sure,
to get a couple of extra games in, or to be able to shuffle postponements and whatnot, but it's not a lot of wiggle room for the teams, but they do have a conference schedule in place. And because of this, the teams also announced the non-conference schedules today. UNLV will open at home the night before Thanksgiving against Montana State.
Oh, they're bringing it on down.
The Mighty Bobcats.
All right on. And I'm sure the early part of the schedule, because most of the colleges and universities are basically planning, if you go home for Thanksgiving, you stay there until January. So I think that little cushion will probably come right around then when people start infusing back into the universities, if that's, you know, the plan that we are able to go with at that point. But, you know, college basketball must be played this year.
It's true. It's
must
true.
Be played.
If they're already talking about bubbles in the postseason, we're already talking about getting some of those together early on. All right, wrapping up number one.
That's right.
Number two.
Make the playoffs before you actually go to said playoffs.
Wichita State basketball coach Greg Marshall resigning. There was an investigation and allegations of physical and verbal abuse. He's going to get paid out $7.75 million. That is the settlement of his contract. I actually read his stupid contract, Lindsay.
Really?
This is actually part of the deal. It basically, this is the payoff. This is actually the payoff for him to never show up again.
So they are basically just paying for the severance completely and entirely, because it just doesn't settle with me well, Paul, when I look and see like he's going to be making an amount like that, $7.75 million to be paid to go away after abusing some of the players under his watch, and they are not paid anything at all. But that's the way reality works. And so, you know, apparently it's not in the rules that you can punch a player or
allegations.
And so if these allegations are true, this is 100% the right call. And I don't think all the players, the mass exodus that we saw from that program last year just happens because of some rumors, right?
Yeah, a lot of players have certainly moved on. One ended up at Nevada.
Yeah.
Grant Sherfield.
So. You're a one seed, like, within the last 5 years.
Well, he was there for 14 years, mm-hmm. for sure. Probably done as a college coach. And again, resigning. Yeah. The assistant coach, Isaac Brown, will serve as the team's interim. I just say good riddance to bad people, allegations aside.
Yes.
He cooperated, but, you know, when schools have to hire law firms to do internal investigations.
Correct.
Yeah, you know there's something fishy in the water.
Right. That you have to use those tactics to get what you need to get out of your players to play a game.
Alleged.
Correct.
Number three.
Okay. This one caught me by surprise just a little, but he does hang out here in Las Vegas. I see him signing things from time to time, taking pictures. Matter of fact, the last time I saw him, he was in the Mandalay Bay Concourse. There was like a store there, kind of like, remember those Field of Dreams stores? You'd walk into Field of Dreams and they had like everything autographed, like big giant
sure.
pictures of like Jack Nicklaus on a hole, and it would be like $29,000.
Exactly. Prove to your, you know, your teenage son that you do indeed love him.
Right.
Yes.
So I see Mr. Peter Rose there, and Pete apparently has come out saying and telling Jim Gray on Fox News he still occasionally bets on baseball.
Of course he does.
He says he didn't wager this year, but he has in the past. He says, when I was betting on baseball, when I got suspended, I was betting illegally on baseball. I make no more illegal bets in my life. That's why they have casinos.
Yes, indeed. Still understand why he is still, you know, designated in the corner with the dunce cap in the way that he is now that we've told everyone. Place your wagers, at least most of us here in the United States. Most of us will in the next 10 years. Right?
I just, you know what? Rob Manfred, here it is. Here's the plea.
Take notes, Bob.
I know. Dude, let him back in. Just let him back in.
Right?
He says he's made one mistake in his life. I mean, he's probably made a few, but this was the one.
We let people who make way worse mistakes stick around the game way more often than it. So majors, let's be honest.
The major sports are very forgiving these days.
Correct.
It's probably time for Major League Baseball to kind of just suck it up on this one and let P. Rose back in.
Exactly.
Just let it happen.
Exactly.
Let it happen. I have no problem with that. If Jose Canseco can own a local car wash here in Las Vegas.
And make it Oakland theme.
Right, and make it Oakland themed. That thing is totally Oakland themed.
Yeah.
It's like just green and
gold. And have it be a success because it's still here, is it not?
Oh, I love Jose Canseco. I do.
You're a huge fan.
I remember as a kid, like when he joined the 40-40 club and 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases. I made a little shrine to him. I had this little plaque. I cut out the newspaper article. I had a cheap little baseball card that I glued to a frame.
How much is a unlimited monthly wash pass at this fine establishment? And why don't you have one?
I have no clue. I've never washed my car. Have you seen my car out there? It looks like I would hide it too. I've taken it off roading.
That's why I park mine in the very first spot, the one that everyone first greets because it's brand. It's Tammy's washed up.
Right.
She looks great. Yours is like, let's put him in the corner.
Mine's just like, you know what?
Does your car have a name?
No, it does not.
We're going to have to work
on
that.
We'll probably call it Manuel.
Manuel?
Because it has a manual transmission.
Brilliant.
I know.
Manuel.
It's Manuel?
I'm sorry that Paul will not give you baths.
Right. Yeah, listen.
Better things to do with your time and resources.
I have a hard enough time giving my kids baths.
Yeah, you
got to
expand more wealth. You got to expand some wealth. That's what we got to do.
Yeah, so Pete Rose still bets on baseball?
Number four.
Good for his wealth.
All right, so we're talking about being flexible these days, and we've been so much in the past 8 months as a society. We've been trying to anyway.
Some of us have.
I say we.
Most.
We all live here in the yellow submarine. It's just what it is. At least two of the three college football playoff games are prepared to push back kickoff dates if the pandemic necessitates postponement. CBS Sports reporting that the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, who are scheduled to go on January 1st, are willing to, you know what, just we're okay. We're good. If we want to play January 1st, we'll do that. If you want us to play January 30th, we could do that too.
Glad to know that they're willing to massage that if needed. I don't think that's a decision that would necessarily go into their hands, but
they're good. They're all good with it. They're happy. Here's the problem, though, with like the Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
After January, there could be an issue.
Naming rights?
No, they're renovating the Superdome in New Orleans. They start that construction in February. So the Sugar Bowl may not have a place to play.
I'm guessing that they're going to push that off just a smidgen as well. Everything is up in the air. Everything we're playing by ear this year, Paul.
But the Orange Bowl, they're like, we haven't heard anything to the contrary. We are staying the course on January 2nd.
And where's the Orange Bowl?
Miami.
Yeah, so they clearly in the Florida are not down to change the plans. The plans are what they are until the moments before, and if we have to change, that is the only time we'll consider it.
But they're saying putting the games in a bubble is not a consideration according to the college football
playoff. Yeah, what's the point?
They can't do it.
Yeah.
So, some flexibility, not all flexibility.
Got to stretch.
But some flexibility.
You know,
there is
dynamic warm-ups, plyometrics.
Sure. Get out your rubber bands.
Mm-hmm. The yoga, the arming.
Number five.
The NBA is going to do something with this upcoming schedule, apparently, that we had not heard of. This, again, another surprise besides Pete Rose, who's still betting on baseball.
He's not allowed to come to the birthday party there.
The NBA is planning, at least according to the GM of the Atlanta Hawks, they're only going to release half of the regular schedule to start. 72 games, and they'll release the first 36. And then,
so close to greatness.
They'll use some time. Well, it doesn't divide evenly.
Oh, whatever.
Well, it doesn't.
If it were a
70 game season, then it would be 35.
We're not going for equality in this sense, Paul. We're going for greatness. So just say the first 35.
Right. We talk about equality all summer long, but when it comes to scheduling and actual numbers,
here's where I draw the line,
Paul.
Here's where I draw the line on equality.
So they're looking to essentially release the first half of the schedule and then have a break to do any makeup games before they release the second half of the schedule.
This makes sense to me. Does it to you?
It feels just kind of unorthodox, but it
heads
seems,
up though.
But it seems smart.
Yes.
I mean, if you're not going to have fans anyway in a lot of the places, then why bother?
Well, and we can't rest on the success that they had in the bubble because, first of all, we're not using that format. And second of all, you know, this isn't the same year. These are all the same teams, so everything is going to have to be planned for. Different contingency plans are going to have to be in place, and this seems like a pretty darn good one, just in case things get a little gnarly.
December the 11th is when they're targeting the start of preseason, with each team playing 3 to 4 games, and then they kick off on the December the 22nd. Lots of logistics still to work into the mix, obviously, including the draft tomorrow and free agency, but we'll dig into that stuff with Ryan McDonough here in about 6 minutes. But the NBA is trying to get its ball,
bouncing
back on the court.
Rolling.
For sure.
Dribbling.
Something. Something.
Rattling.
Yeah.
all of those verbs.
Something along those lines. So we'll,
very exciting.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So there's your check down, your five biggest stories of the afternoon, powered by Radio.com Sports. We do have some breaking news here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes.
What happened?
Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder Cody Bellinger. Who wears what number, Lindsay?
Marcus! I forgot. Oh, never mind. You're training people. No, he wears the number 35.
He does. Cody Bellinger underwent surgery today.
What? There it is. Thank you.
He's repairing the right shoulder he dislocated celebrating his home run.
Oh, yeah. With the elbow high five. Yeah. With the...
Yeah. So he is expected to miss 10 weeks. But that will put him back on track to return as spring training gets started.
Excellent to hear.
Bellinger getting the old right shoulder repaired. Should be back and ready to go.
It's more like he was giving the doctors practice, you know, just to work on such a specimen, that arm specifically. I mean, it must have been a really big skill lab for many surgeons.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so.
Thank you, Dr. Paul.
Yeah, well, you know, I did go to medical school for 6 months.
It was a hell of a time, wasn't it?
I can make hospital bed corners like nobody's
really?
Business. Yes, I can give someone a bed bath.
What else did you learn?
Without having them actually leave the bed.
Are they tachycardic?
No.
Push lorazepam.
No, you watch way too much Grey's Anatomy.
Correct.
Did you watch it come back? You know it's
no,
back,
I
right?
haven't. Yes, I know. But I stopped like halfway through last season because I like to just have some cushion.
Plane crashes in front of the hospital
okay,
for you?
No, it's just, and I don't know, like apparently in the new season, they're going to be wading into the COVID waters, which it makes sense, especially since it's Grey's Anatomy, but it's
all
just,
season COVID.
I think it'll
Great.
Be weird.
That'll be exciting.
I think it'll be weird watching a fictional show set in our very real circumstances, because sooner or later we're gonna have to address that.
You know who's back, right?
I saw the pictures and I'm not really sure how they're gonna do this. I hope that they haven't taken, you know, more liberties than they should have, but in Shonda we trust.
I'm not gonna spoil it.
Shondaland always is a good time.
Just let you know what's
scandal, Grace.
What's coming?
Private practice to an extent.
Yeah.
Just for Kate Walsh.
They just have enough plane crashes.
Yeah,
we just have a pandemic all season long on Grey's Anatomy.
Well, the hot guy in that show was the husband and Madam Secretary. Another great show, but not one from Shondaland.
No longer on the TV.
Great.
All right, coming up next, we're going to dig into the NBA free agency and the draft coming up tomorrow with Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, former NBA GM Ryan McDonough.
You found the playmakers
on a Tuesday
on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul Leander, Lindsey Brown on this Tuesday afternoon. NBA draft is tomorrow. NBA free agency stirring up, and it seems like the NBA trade winds are blowing. It's getting a little drafty in here, pun intended. Joining us on the line, RDC Sports NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. Ryan has insight as a former general manager in the NBA, worked in plenty of front offices, and now takes a look at things from 30,000 feet. It's good to have you back, friend.
Hey, Paul and Lindsay, always great to be on with you guys.
Great to have you, Ryan. And it's been obviously a really weird year, 2020 has been. And so how big of a challenge is it scouting this draft? Because as Paul just said, you know, you've been in those draft war rooms. What is Garrison Rosas dealing with as the GM of the Minnesota Timberwolves as they look to see if they want to make that top overall selection or trade that pick away potentially?
Yeah, great question, Lindsay. There's a lot going on. If you're Gershon Rosas and the guys in the Timberwolves front office, you're looking at your draft board. You're trying to figure out who to pick. Talking to my sources in Minnesota, they've already locked the board. So I don't know who it is, but they know who it is. If they keep the number one pick, they've already locked in their draft order in Minnesota for tomorrow night. What I think they're looking to do, Paul and Lindsay, is looking at potential deals. I think their preference would be to keep a pick, especially a lottery pick if they can, and maybe drop down in the lottery, add another asset in form of a pick, or ideally a player, a veteran player to help accelerate their team and help them win. Keeping in mind they have Karl Anthony Towns, who's one of the better young bigs in the league, and they also traded for D'Angelo Russell, the talented guard from Golden State a year ago. So they like to really advance their timeline. You guys know how difficult and loaded the Western Conference is, top to bottom. So they claim they know who they're going to pick at number one. If they keep the pick, I personally don't know who that is. I have some guesses, but I think they would like to trade the pick, especially if there's a scenario in which they can move down just a few slots and pick up another good player to help their team win next year.
Well, those scenarios are strange, Ryan, as you know, teams like the Boston Celtics who have three first-rounders. But how would you grade out this year's draft just in terms of, again, that uncertainty, but also in terms of the talent that's available? Is it worth it for a Boston to try to unload some of those picks? And they also have a big question mark in what to do with Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, it's a below-average draft, Paul, overall. It's not the worst I've seen, but you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say it's about a 3.5. And I say that especially at the top of the draft. We talked about Minnesota. I'm not envious of Gershon Rosas and the guys in the front office. Obviously, if you have the number one pick, you'd love there to be a LeBron James or an Anthony Davis or some surefire number one guy in the draft who was head and shoulders above everybody else, and that makes your job pretty easy as an executive. That is not the case this year. There's a lot of uncertainty. There are arguments could be made for at least half a dozen or so different guys to go number one. And then you mentioned Boston. They're the only team with three first-round picks. Minnesota has two in addition to one. Minnesota has 17. And the New York Knicks have the eighth pick in the mid-lottery, and they come back again at 27 in the late first round. So look for those teams to be active. In particular, I know the Boston Celtics, who went to the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago, do not want three rookies in the locker room next year. They don't have the roster spots for that. So look for them to consolidate and try to package picks to move up in the draft, or even trade a pick or multiple picks for a player to help their team stay at a championship contending level for next season.
Yeah, it's just turned into basically an arms race that's new each and every year, and it's more just focused on the stars and whether or not, or which jerseys that they're going to wear. And when it comes to the Eastern Conference, it's usually been the weaker side, but in the last couple of years, it's really started to take a step, and that's why I wanted to ask you, am I wrong to say and to think that adding Bogdan Bogdanovic and Jrue Holiday potentially to a Milwaukee Bucks led by Giannis squad is really enough to put them in that echelon of the upper Eastern Conference teams to be a contender? Because I just don't feel like it's there, at least with those names on that roster potentially.
Yeah, I think they'll have a chance, Lindsay. I think the Eastern Conference next year is wide open as opposed to the West. The Lakers would be significant favorite coming back, although the other team in L.A., the Clippers and Denver and others, will be improved as well. But in the Eastern Conference, I do think it's wide open. Milwaukee made a really risky move yesterday with New Orleans, trading Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and a bunch of draft picks and pick swaps to the Pelicans to get Jrue Holiday. However, my guess, my strong suspicion, guys, is that part of that deal would be a commitment from their superstar, Giannis Antetokounmpo, to sign a 5-year max contract extension that he'll be able to sign as soon as free agency officially starts on Sunday. If that was part of the deal, if the Bucks front office and ownership went and said, Giannis, if we upgrade our team, getting guys like Jrue Holiday and Bogdan Bogdanovic, either generally or those two specific players, will you re-sign with us for 5 years, which would keep him under contract in Milwaukee for a total of 6 years? If he said yes, guys, then it was well worth it. If he didn't say yes or said probably, then it's a big gamble, because keep in mind at this point, Giannis Antetokounmpo can be an unrestricted free agent next year, and Jrue Holiday is also in the last year of his contract as well.
It felt like a real big flyer. It felt like that Herschel Walker trade in the NFL,
okay,
you know, where it was a lot of assets for a lot of kind of win right now. NBA insider Ryan McDonough here with the Playmakers. And Ryan, so I felt like for the Bucks, it did feel like a monster stretch for them, just knowing how that Eastern Conference shakes out. I get the idea of wanting to sign Giannis to a long-term deal, but Lindsay and I have gone about this back and forth, too, about how the Bucks last year were a Giannis team, and Bledsoe was kind of a solid role player, you know, you had a George Hill, but when you unload assets like guys, these guys are, you know, have all-star potential, have played to that potential, it doesn't feel like this monster upgrade. I'm like, if I'm Giannis, I'm kind of like, yeah, that's great, but what else?
Yeah, although, you know, you never know what the conversations were like internally. I think the Bucks have, clearly their best player is Giannis, and then their second best player is Chris Middleton. And look, they just didn't have enough other assets to go get a third star, even a second star. You know, if Middleton's the third, somebody better than Middleton to be that number two guy. The only way they could do that, or the best player they could get, I think, was Jrue Holiday. They don't have a great draft pick situation. They don't have much young talent on the roster. So to get Holiday, who I think is an underrated two-way player. And to get Bogdanovich, it was risky. It was aggressive. That's the best they can do. And I guess I really think there's no in-between here. It'll either work out great in terms of Giannis re-signing, committing to the Bucks for 6 years, Holiday re-signing, and then they'll be an Eastern Conference contender, at least for the next 4 or 5 years they should be with Giannis in a Bucks uniform. Or if Giannis leaves, then they're really in trouble and you know, as bad a shape as any team in the league with the draft picks and pick swaps they gave up to New Orleans that go out till 2027. So I think there's no middle ground for Milwaukee. I think it'll either be great or could be a disaster. I think more likely it'll turn out well for them because I'm guessing they already have a commitment from Giannis in their back pocket to re-sign the contract extension as soon as next Sunday.
Speaking of boomer bust potential, apparently James Harden said, I do not want $50 million a year and to be the first player to ever make that type of coin per season. And apparently he is really pushing for a trade to the Brooklyn Nets. So what does an offense with James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving potentially look like and work with one another? And is that even possible given the amount of money that he is going to command and just already what they have tied up in terms of roster space?
Yeah, I love the way you frame that question, Lindsay, because the fit and the lack of ball movement, the isolation-heavy style would really concern me if I'm the Brooklyn Nets. Now, the talent on paper is tantalizing, especially if you compare Kevin Durant with James Harden. Again, keep in mind they went to the finals as young players in Oklahoma City when they lost to the Miami Heat. They were in their early 20s at the time with Russell Westbrook and Serge Ibaka and that group in OKC, and then OKC made the now infamous trade to send out Harden in 2012, and the Rockets have made the playoffs every year since then. So I bring it up because those guys have played together before, and Harden and Durant, they have a relationship. It seems like that is what Harden wants. But I'd ask you guys to look at it this way. If I'm Sean Marks in the front office for Brooklyn, and if what has been reported is true, is that the Houston Rockets aren't as interested in a package of, you know, pretty good to very good players involving Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, and Torian Prince, and they would prefer Kyrie Irving, it would be controversial. I get it, especially given what the Nets did less than a year and a half ago now to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to come to Brooklyn. But I think that's the best thing for their team. If they're able to trade just Kyrie Irving and retain Dinwiddie, LeVert, Allen, Prince, and those guys, and add James Harden alongside Kevin Durant, I think that's what they should do for the good of the team. Again, it would ruffle some feathers in the short term, but I think that's the best move for Brooklyn, Lindsay, rather than bringing in a ball-dominant player. Because as we saw in Cleveland, Kyrie Irving isn't necessarily wired to sacrifice for the good of the team. He was the number two guy with the Cavs to LeBron James. He bristled at that. He demanded and got a trade to the Boston Celtics. So I'm not sure how he'd handle being the number three guy in Brooklyn, especially when Durant and Harden have the ball most of the time.
So we hear the rumors of Harden turning down the extension. Now Shams in the last 30 minutes is talking about a Houston Wizards deal involving Russell Westbrook. How would you describe the whole scene in Houston with this exodus coming out and, you know, with Silas coming into coach now? You know, how do they draw in talent and free agents knowing that, you know, they shipped out, you know, Robert Covington for Trevor Ariza, who I like as a role player, but not a monster guy I'm going to build around? Is this a teardown that's happening in Houston for a team that, you know, gave the Lakers a pretty good run for themselves in the bubble during the playoffs?
I think the Rockets are signaling a teardown, Paul. In fact, I think it started. I tweeted that out last night on my Twitter, at McDNBA, and that is because they made a surprising move to me that I think signaled that what they're going to ultimately do in Houston, which I'm anticipating involves trading at least Russell Westbrook and maybe James Harden as well. That is because late last night they agreed to trade Robert Covington. Keep in mind, guys, what they gave up to get Covington. That was, you know, earlier in 2020. They said out multiple first-round picks and Clint Capella in a package to get Covington to Houston. So he was in a Rockets uniform for less than a year. He is a much better player than Trevor Ariza. So, but still, Houston traded the better player in Covington to get back Trevor Ariza, who's past his prime at this point, and a couple draft picks from the Portland Trailblazers. Now, those draft picks are valuable, but if you are trying to continue to win at a championship level, obviously you don't do that by trading a better player in Covington for a lesser player in Ariza. So for me, guys, that was kind of a signal that I wouldn't at all be surprised. In fact, my expectation is that at a minimum, Russell Westbrook is traded this offseason from Houston and possibly James Harden as well, which is scary from a Rockets perspective, guys, because keep in mind, they still owe first-round picks and pick swaps to the OKC Thunder based on the Russell Westbrook-Chris Paul trade they did just a year ago, and those picks and pick swaps go all the way out until 2026.
Just seems like a lot of work to get, you know, three guys back on the team that they were already on a team together. and now they just, you know, want to keep playing with one another. But, you know, they're going to find a way to get Harden off that roster. And Westbrook is just the big thing is that contract. Where do you foresee him landing? And are the Miami Heat a potential option? I know that's I don't know how much money they have on the salary cap, but, you know, they've been thrust into the arms race a little bit sooner than they probably thought. How are they going to bolster that roster? And could it include somebody like Russell Westbrook?
I don't think so, Lindsay. I'm fairly certain Miami is going to keep their powder dry, so to speak, for free agency in 2021. Now, especially, you know, while Giannis is still a possibility, keep in mind Giannis Antetokounmpo and Bam Adebayo, the Heat's young star big man, they have the same agent. So, you know, I think nobody will know better than Miami what Giannis is going to do, especially if, you know, something happens before it's announced. So they'll have a feel for that. But either way, guys, with the tantalizing free agents that are potentially available in 2021, a guy like Kawhi Leonard could be in the play, as could his teammate Paul George, other, you know, non-stars but very good players like Rudy Gobert, Gordon Hayward, and others. Victor Oladipo could be in next offseason's class as well. So I bring it up because I don't think the Miami Heat will take on that kind of money, especially on a team that just went to the finals. I think as they're more likely to try to overpay their own free agents, especially Goran Dragic, but maybe Jay Crowder as well, keep those guys on one-year deals if they can, and then still have a good team that has a chance to go back to the NBA Finals, but also keep them as a player in a loaded 2021 free agent class.
Former NBA GM Ryan McDonough joining us here on the Playmakers. Ryan, before we let you go, I mean, obviously we did not talk about Chris Paul, and we talked about signal flares, and Giannis got one with Milwaukee, and Devin Booker apparently got another one in Phoenix, but how loaded the Western Conference is right now, adding a Chris Paul, and again, it adds it to an improving Phoenix Suns team, but does it make them relevant enough to be part of the larger conversation that is the Western Conference playoffs with, you know, a full health and Golden State returning to the fold?
Yeah, I love the way you asked that question as well, because Phoenix has certainly improved. They were the best team in the bubble. They were 8-0 and, you know, just missed playing in the play-in scenario when Caris LeVert missed that shot for Brooklyn. Portland got into the play-in and Phoenix did not. I still live here in the Valley of the Sun. It was heartbreaking, especially given how well the team played in those 8 games in Orlando. So I like the move for the Suns. It clearly helps them short-term. As long as Chris Paul is healthy, he's a clear upgrade from Ricky Rubio. Kelly Oubre played well in a Suns uniform, but he did not play at all in the restart when they were 8-0, and Phoenix has talented young wings in Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. So I like the move from the Suns. You know, Paul has had some injury issues, especially later in his career. Last year, he was relatively healthy, but before that, you know, he's missed probably 15 or so games a year. So we'll see if the Suns can keep him healthy, but it's certainly a worthwhile gamble, in my opinion, given that Phoenix kept its best young players, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Mikal Bridges. I think it was worth it, but your point, Paul, is well taken and accurate. It's still going to be very difficult for Phoenix or anybody who was not in the top 8 this year in the Western Conference to crack the top 8 and get in the playoffs next year, especially when considering the Golden State Warriors, who are 15-50 and had the worst record in the league, return Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. They have Andrew Wiggins, and we'll see if they're able to put their number 2 pick in play tomorrow night to add another veteran star to help get them back to a championship contending level.
Yeah, Ryan, that move to me in Phoenix signals that we don't want to be a team that sends our stars away. We want to be one of those puddles where they tend to come in. And I that's where Phoenix, I think, is really trying to do, especially with Devin Booker. So is everybody basically stancing for that free agency period next year? As you said, it's a loaded class. So are you anticipating a stalemate kind of in free agency and just drafting in general?
I think, Lindsay, what you see, and you've already started to see it, with the guys who had significant player options, I'd say a vast majority of the players who had player options, meaning they control the option, and if their number's $10 million or more, almost all of those guys will opt in, Paul and Lindsay. That's just what they're going to do. It's a very limited market as far as free agent salary cap space. There are only about 6 teams in the entire league that have significant salary cap space, and frankly speaking, some of those teams aren't necessarily looking to use that cap space to upgrade their team. They'll look at it maybe in salary dumps as far as teams trying to save payroll or shave luxury tax or all that. I look at a team like the Detroit Pistons using their cap space potentially that way. So it's not a great year to be an unrestricted free agent. You guys know the pandemic and the impact it had on the league. So I think you'll see a lot of players opting in. That's already started with Mike Connolly, Andre Drummond, and other high-salaried guys, DeMar DeRozan, picking up their player options to opt in. And then you'll also see a lot of short-term contracts, particularly one-year deals for the free agents. Basically, you know, get the money and push the decision a year until next year when there's more money in the marketplace and more good teams with money who are looking to spend it on veteran free agents.
Now, with the NBA, the timeline certainly never stops, especially this time of year as we start moving towards a restart and we have free agency, the draft, and all these player options and trades all in the works. Former NBA GM Ryan McDonough here with the Playmakers. Ryan, we always appreciate the insight. Look forward to having you back again soon.
Paul and Lindsay, always great to be on with you guys.
Thanks, Ryan.
That was RDC Sports NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. Again, you can follow Ryan on Twitter, MCDNBA. It's pretty simple. There's a lowercase c in it, though, but I think if you just went uppercase C, it would still land.
Right on. Right on.
Yes, on the Playmakers, join us via the CBS Sports Radio 1140 phone line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Coming up next, baseball. A shakeup in the front office as Theo is out.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Slow dancing, and the year is 1984. The amount of hairspray I've used would put at least a dime-sized hole in the ozone layer.
It's a power ballad.
And there's definitely cheetah print or some electrified zebra print involved. And leg warmers, obviously.
This is some hardcore crooning for sure.
Yeah. Who sings this? I'm asking, literally.
Just wait till you get to the chorus.
I mean, it kind of sounds like Rod, but I'm not going to say it's Rod Stewart. I know this song.
The problem is it takes forever to get to the chorus in this one.
See, that's what I mean. Is it a power ballad? Oh. No, thought I had it. Oh, you don't need to turn it up. I'm really good. Like, the level that it was at was, would have, it sufficed.
They're playing this in Chicago, I suppose, but he already brought them a World Series. Theo Epstein out in Chicago, going to leave here in the next 3 days. So he's staying on for the party. He's going to stay through Friday.
Yeah.
Essentially.
That's when his lease is up.
Right.
He must be out of said apartment.
Does it surprise you that he no longer wants to be a GM ever?
That's what he said.
He wants to be part of an ownership group. He wants to he wants to have a piece of a team now. Now that he's run teams
Theo
and seen the success,
he wants to
be a part owner of a team.
Well, if we were giving out Game of Thrones names, he would be Theo, the Curse Breaker. Because he brought
absolutely.
You know, the Red Sox back to championship ways, first starting in 2004, and then did the same exact thing with Chicago, with the Cubs, not with the White Sox. They didn't need him.
No.
In 2005. But the Cubs did in 2016. And for a guy like that with that resume, and he said, you know, this summer is going to be the first summer in 30 years where he's not heading to a ballpark to you know, punch his time card.
Sure.
What else is there left to really conquer? So the ownership stake seems like a natural next step. Because at this point, I mean, is there any other curses that are that, you know, drawn out? I don't think there are.
He could go to Seattle. The Mariners haven't won a World Series. You go to teams that haven't won World Series.
Like the Dads, like the Padres, they have a good thing going.
I don't think he has anything left to conquer in that. I
mean, right.
And it's not like he'll need to go on a speaking tour or write a book because it's already been written. We've already seen that history unfold in front of us.
Right.
You know, the devil in the details with Epstein. I mean, I'm not sure.
Is he even 50 yet? Like, no, is he 40?
He's not. He's in his 40s. If you look at him, and I get the idea of wanting to do more. We should all want
a new
to
challenge.
Do, we should all want to do more. In terms of ownership, though, I'm not sure who's going to give him that piece. I think, you know,
it would have been in Boston or in Chicago if it were to happen.
Right. I think it would have had to. And those are the places where they're not. I mean, family controlled corporate operations in both.
Yeah, these are. Yeah. And you're talking about two of the most. There's a reason why those curses were so long is because both those organizations have been around for, you know, over 100 years. So it's kind of like, yeah, we'll give you a piece. No, you don't get to skip the line. That's not how this works. This isn't Green Bay Packers ownership.
The crazy thing is if Ng isn't hired in Miami as the GM there, mm-hmm. and Epstein would be perfect for that job because they would have probably given him a little piece of the pie there too in terms of ownership.
Yeah. But then you give Theo Epstein a piece of the pie, or you make one of the best decisions of all time and give somebody who has not only earned the shot but deserves
the
shot.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that probably would have been the fit for him.
Yeah.
If they hadn't gone with her, I think he would have been. That would have been the situation perfect for him because you knew the ownership is willing to do and make those kinds of moves.
I don't know if Major League Baseball is down to go with the Gruden plan. But then again, I didn't really think the NFL was down to do it until that deal was struck. But I don't think, you know, Gruden's type of deal where he gets that much money to coach and an ownership stake, you know, happens with any other organization in this league. And it doesn't get extended to anybody but him. Like, it's a very special type of situation. And I just don't know, like, with baseball these days, you know, Theo's kind of created the monster that's going to consume him here, because as great as he is and was at the helm for both of those, you know, curse breaking and multiple championships, like, well, baseball's all numbers now, right? We just read the analytics and we'll know what's going on. So, like, do you have an eye, Theo, or do all these people that have now, you know, walked into the game with your, you know, contribution to the game and the way that teams are built these days?
So when you play video games and you roll through Super Mario Brothers and you just roll through level 1, mm-hmm, and level 2, level 3, and you're through level 8 and you rescue the princess for like the 100th time.
Yes.
At a certain point, you just stop playing the game.
What?
I think for Theo, he's just kind of done. He's bored.
That's what I mean.
He's won the championships, so the ownership stake is the only thing that's going to keep him engaged. I'm not sure he's going to get it.
Yeah, why don't you just, like, go be a GM in a different sport? Like, we've seen a couple of people do that. Like, he needs a new challenge. You're absolutely correct. But I don't think, you know, getting an ownership stake and then putting your feet up is that necessarily that challenge. I just think you want a piece of the pie because the pie is pretty profitable. And you've done a large amount of your work to build it into the pie that it is.
They could hook up with Ryan Reynolds. He's buying soccer clubs.
This is true. Yeah. But yeah, Theo, it's like you're almost too good at your damn job and now you run out of hobbies. Right? What do you do when you're like in retirement at age 40? What's the next chapter?
Yeah. Just, you show off your rings at large reunion
events. You start SpaceX, I guess.
It's our 20-year reunion.
Imagine
everybody, hey, remember
a couple
Theo?
Of ownership stakes to get to that point.
Right. All right, coming up next, Fox Sports reached an interesting television deal with a sport, and it got me thinking about those sports on TV that are just hard to turn away from.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Remember, you can re-listen to any portion of the program, including our interview with former NBA GM Ryan McDonough about 15 minutes ago through the Radio.com app's Rewind feature. So to access that, you need to first get the Radio.com app. It is free through the Google Play Store or iTunes App Store.
We got that already, Paul.
Yes.
It's free.
Yep. Put it on your smart device. Then to favorite us, search out CBS Sports Radio 1140 and hit the hearts. In the upper portion of your screen. Fox Sports has reached a deal, a multi-year agreement, to air the complete 9-event Bassmaster Elite Series season.
Oh, we're going fishing?
Despite the challenging 2020 season, the Bassmaster Elite Series was able to complete the full schedule, and Fox Sports will air 10 events per season, highlighted by the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic, presented by Huck, with 3 hours of content on Fox and hours of content on FS1. This is the first time in history the entire Bassmaster Elite Series will be featured on live TV.
I love fishing, Paul. Off the end of the dock. The instant gratification is a necessity for me. The sitting in the boat. I'd rather just read a book. That's usually what I do back home on the many thousands of lakes.
Sure.
But super pumped that this is a thing for them. And now it is now a thing for us. Because you don't just hand out, you know, deals like this for a product that doesn't generate a profit, right?
Fishing is incredibly underrated.
Yes.
As a sport.
Yes.
It is incredibly underrated as a sport.
I want to go river fishing in Alaska. I mean, the bears, please stay away. That's where you wear the bells. But I want to go fishing there. I don't know how many times the bobber gets hit, you know, in this type of programming. But it's a whole new world of sports, Paul. We are your sports leader here at CBS Sports Radio 1140. The football, the hockey, the basketball, the baseball, and the bass fish that sings at you while making really awkward eye contact.
It does.
It does.
It got me thinking. As you see this hit television? Is there something that's kind of not in the major sports? Like, you come across it and you just kind of click on it and you're like, yep, I'm going to stick with that. I'm not going to go anywhere.
Well, I discovered something called World Chase Tag a couple of months ago when one of my friends was visiting. It is exactly as it sounds. It's a tag arena with obstacles, and these people just fly around like flying squirrels and try to tag. It's unbelievable. You see the athleticism. So I'm like, I would like to see that, but I mean, fishing first, obviously.
Right.
What about you? Do you have anything that you would like up in lights, or at least in a cable television channel buried somewhere on a DVR?
Right. I mean, outside of the Olympics, obviously, which is there, and everybody knows about my love of professional wrestling, which is kind of off in its own little realm. You know, and then there's the hot dog competition. I always watch the hot dog eating. I have never missed a hot dog eating competition.
It's kind of weird, but we'll leave that for another day.
It is a little strange. I find myself watching way too much bags on TV.
Cornhole, you say?
Yeah, cornhole.
I love playing.
And yeah.
Not so much the watching.
That's the weird one. But I don't stop as much as you used to, just because I'm like, okay, I've seen it. Darts. I watch darts religiously. Like, if it's on BBC, like BBC America, they have darts. Like,
I mean, they make great TV shows.
British Darts League. And it's better with fans. Obviously, this is a sport that's much better with fans. Like, virtual fans at darts does nothing. But, you know,
you're saying the atmosphere is disrupted by the lack of fans?
For darts?
Is the focus?
Yes.
How is that going?
For darts, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's just too quiet now.
Too much math in darts.
It's the one where you notice it's too quiet. Like, darts is built on crowds as they count down.
What?
It's insane.
Darts is, but you're like the Masters. Who needs crowds? Nobody makes a difference.
It's
NBA.
Insane.
There's no difference whatsoever. But you know where I noticed the lack of fans?
Yep.
The Dart World Championship. Who says this? No one. Except
darts.
For
you. I watch darts. I mean, I love countdown.
Oh, goodness.
Maybe it's the math thing.
Yeah.
I do love me some darts.
It's predictable then, or at least there's a game behind the game. EA Sports.
There's strategy.
It's in the game.
There's strategy. It all happens, but. Good luck to Bassmaster. Getting watching that on Fox next year.
Interesting.
He's got his 18-pound line out.
He's always curling as well. Huge fan of that.
Curling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sweet things.
They keep trying that curling night in America. Hasn't quite caught
on. We are gold medalists, Paul. Take it back.
Football at 4 on the way as the Playmakers rolls on.
It's in the game.
Inside information on your teams. Honest opinion and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Hour number two of said show. Paul Ihander here, Lindsey Brown there.
Hellest of lows.
We are socially distant in studio. Probably going to mask up a little bit later. Get really masked up.
We definitely will when we leave the studio.
Yeah, it's gonna be happening for sure. Lots coming your way here. Hour number two. Obviously, some football for you. Also, hockey's low-hanging fruit. And then with the resignation of Greg Marshall at Wichita State, Lindsey and I are going to get into the whole idea of how to coach kids in the 21st century. Especially in the year of 2020, which has been one of the strangest years of all, to be honest. It's time for a little football at 4.
Oh, yes, it is time for football at 4. And it's a great day to talk about the footiest of footballs, Paul, because you know what? The Purple are, and will continue to be, victorious. Big win last night, Paul. Did you catch it?
I'll be honest with you.
Did you see the high-octane offenses on display?
If my boss did not cut me a check to do this show, to watch said sporting event last night. See, I missed a title change on WWE Raw to watch that game last night between the Vikings and the now 4 loss in a row, 5-5 Chicago Bears.
Into the bye as well.
God, the
just
Bears.
Cruising.
Bears are awful.
With a lot of bruising.
If they didn't have that defense, they'd be 1-9.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be lucky if you had the one, honestly. And even the special teams, it was just a debacle last night. And that's kind of the MO for the Minnesota Vikings, is that they just either there's too many punts being blocked, or the kicker misses too many kicks. There's always something going on with the special teams. And they had a blocked punt last night, had a couple of fumbles, lots of butterfingers, because, you know, they were playing outside at Soldier Field. But you know what? It didn't matter, because Kirk Cousins officially knows how to win on Monday night. And well, henceforth. Because
right.
He was 0-9.
He broke the barrier there.
0-9
going
seal. Into last night, and had never won in Chicago, never beat the Bears as a member of the Minnesota Vikings. And he had all 3 of those last night, and he didn't even need to score 20 points. What efficiency.
Craziness for sure. Even Mike Florio was wearing a Cousins jersey this morning. It must have been a bad...
The purple drink is strong today. It's real strong.
So Nick Foles got hurt last night late in the game. It was the final drive of the game for Chicago. He was thrown...
Things hard.
He was thrown hard to the ground after throwing an incompletion. He just...
He legit got thrown physically to the ground.
Dude, what happened?
He got picked up and then hi-ya.
He is now just day to day, fortunately for the Bears, because they don't have Mitch and Tyler Bray is the backup.
Tyler.
Matt Nagy has a right hip injury and an injury to the gluteus maximus. No joke. He's got butt hurt.
Oh, don't touch the butt. Do not touch the gluteus maximus or minimus.
Have you had a tailbone injury before?
Yes, I have. Have you ever been skating before and not worn your breezers or anything else on your butt?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, landing on the butt, especially when you just clip the tailbone just a little teeny bit.
Oh God,
it's very hard to sleep.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Very hard to sleep.
Yeah, face down is not going to work through the pillow.
It does not. You got to find one of those
travel
pillows.
I'm sure some people would rather one of us sleep that way, but honestly, yeah, it's just not a good time.
I remember having a back tweak and having to sleep. It only lasted a couple. It lasted forever. It was just a few nights.
Back tweaks because you breathe and it hurts.
But sleeping with your head off the edge of the bed because it's so painful because you can't lie in any other position. It's not restful at all. You're just miserable the entire time.
Yeah. No, I've popped out ribs before and tried to sleep on the... And that's just... It's just... You can't... You think you're done with the pain and the pain is gone because you're like, I'm not moving. And then you're like, oh, yeah.
So you know what Drew Brees is going through then with five fractures.
Exactly
rooms.
What Drew Brees is
joking about
right
it. He's joking about it. Like, it should be back in time for the end of the season. But, I mean... Wow.
I mean, he continued to play after he broke those ribs.
Still hurting, too.
Well, and there are shots for that, we've learned.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
If placed in the right place, there are shots for that.
Correct. And so, you know, and then you got the adrenaline keeping you warm as well. It's in the couple of days after the fact. But I bet Drew Brees is going to be back for the end of the season because how many seasons do we know he has left? So, yeah, he's going to push himself, and that team is just not the same without him. And I don't care how many, you know, touchdown passes Jameis Winston is apparently going to have.
Yeah.
No.
An all-black officiating crew is going to work for an NFL game for the first time Monday night in Tampa as the Buccaneers take on the Rams. Jerome Boger will be the head referee there, his 17th year as an official.
That's cool.
No coincidence, apparently, because it's after the 100-year anniversary, and they're saying this is a good game, too. It's not a garbage game for Monday night. It's actually a pretty decent matchup.
Any game would be a good game to start this.
Well, sure.
Whenever.
Monday night football.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to. And it's also, you think about Tampa, too. Tampa's just makeup of that coaching staff with three black coordinators.
That's true.
You know, and so there's reasons why they picked
this
game.
We are taking steps.
Plus two female assistants. So there's
some of the steps could have been taken earlier.
A lot of things that are wrapped up in this one. So it'll be notable certainly on Monday night as we're making notice of it right now.
Excellent.
We know that mental health is real around here.
Retweet.
We've ran specials. Lindsay's talked about it openly.
The laundry list of problems that I deal with on a daily basis.
That Lindsay has, you know, endured in locker rooms and outside of locker rooms. Jamal Adams, who we all thought was just Mr. Disgruntled when he left the Jets and kind of forced his way out of there and ended up getting signed by Seattle, which was a great move by Seattle, but their defense still is kind of garbage.
It's not enough.
He has come out and said during a podcast, which is co-hosted by Cardinals all-pro cornerback Pat Peterson and Brian McFadden, that he battled depression when he was a New York Jet. Why this does not surprise, it just doesn't surprise me.
No.
Just based on just
no
that crew and kind of how you understand that organizations run.
And this is what a toxic environment or work environment, or at least an organization, how it plays out on an individual level. Because we know that Jamal Adams is an unbelievable player. He's one of the best players at his position in the league. And like most athletes, are willing to go at great lengths to perform at the highest level because they want to do it for their team as much as they want to do it for themselves. But when you don't get that reciprocated buy-in from an organizational level and you're always losing and you never, they're always making the wrong moves or all of your complaints or efforts to get everybody else better in the locker room, just trying to make yourself better and the team better is just falling on deaf ears. Yeah. I can see exactly how you get super depressed because it just feels like you're going out there and sacrificing everything for somebody else and just something else that won't do the same. It just makes you feel like you're a number or just a jersey, essentially. And so that's why it is the driving factor of why he wanted to get out of there, why it's so great that he is in Seattle, and why there are still so many issues. Because if you're not willing to listen to one of your top draft picks and what he has to say, and he wants to be great and wants to get better, and you're not even willing to listen and make some changes, then you are a garbage organization. I wouldn't want Trevor Lawrence to play there either. I'm not saying that you're going to get depressed playing there, but if it's not an environment that's built for people to grow and learn and succeed in a positive manner, how do you expect success to happen?
He just felt the organization just didn't respect him, and the Jets weren't winning. That was pretty clear. And, you know, his mom and dad got involved. And so, I mean, kudos to them for stepping up because, you know, again, there's a certain amount of pride, I think, that comes with being a professional athlete, and asking for help may not be one of those things that everyone is accustomed to. And so for his parents to come in and step in, they called his agent and said, dude, hey, listen, you got to get my son in a better place.
Right.
His head's not right.
Well, and that's the thing is like you have to you've put everything in your life and made so many sacrifices to get the opportunity that you have. And say you lose a game that you should have won or it was a blow. It doesn't matter. But they all kind of feel their own kind of special awful. And you just know it's going to be that the next week, the next week, the next. And you're going to still have to go back into the office, into practice, everything. He just talks about how he would they would suffer a tough loss. He would just go back to his room, no TV, no phone, just darkness. I'm like, I know that song and dance, or I should say lack of dance. And when your whole self-worth is tied up in that and performing and being an elite athlete on a high-octane team, because all these guys, we're all stars, are on the best teams, they're the best of the best. Their teams are the best because they were the best. It's not an easy transition to make. And that's much sustained losing. I don't know if anybody can handle it that much. I couldn't.
Yeah. Tough story for him, but he says he's in a better place, and that's a good thing.
Yep.
We all want to be in situations where we want to be in.
Sometimes it's just the wrong fishbowl.
Yeah, you don't want to be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of teams that are stuck, that would be the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are really not going anywhere right now. But Mike Tomlin doesn't want to play into the whole idea, and I didn't realize he shaved his head too. But is everybody shaving their heads these days?
Almost everybody, I would think. It's like a look.
Like, he used to have just a little, he had a patch of hair, real tight, like, number one, maybe a zero on top, but he went
all
straight.
All these things make sense to me. Yes.
He just went straight razor.
Yeah.
He still got the facial hair, but he went straight razor.
No, that'll keep you warm.
It is Movember.
Yeah, that's true.
He says, you know, that this is not a trap game. That, quote, we are not a Big Ten team playing a MAC opponent this week.
Oh, wow.
By the way, there's MACtion on tonight.
Oh, right on.
This is the 14th day of 20 straight
days. Probably not in the Big Ten, though.
No.
No.
Not at all.
None of that.
He says we're playing professionals.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Don't give them any more bulletin board material. We're driving around the stadium stuff.
Well, the action in and of itself gives the bulletin board material. But with this, you do have to take this. This is how you avoid the trap game. But it's one thing to say this, and it's another thing to have that in the back of your mind going through your preparation throughout the week ahead of the game and then the game itself. Like, it's active, constant, just being like, yep. It's the same thing as every week, same type of intensity, same type of effort. And you just know that you maybe have to show up with 25%. That's hard to do, Paul.
Sure.
It's hard to only face 10 shots a game because you better be perfect in all 10.
Jacksonville is being spotted 10 in this one.
Well, they're gonna be perfect in all 10.
Yeah, I would probably take the Steelers in this one.
Yeah, well, I would think so.
Right. But
I wouldn't expect a blowout, but as we've learned, they find ways to win.
I could take the spread on that one.
By hook or by crook, as someone tends to say.
Ten's not too terrible. Mm-hmm. By hook or by crook. Mm-hmm. A lot of professional wrestlers say that, Lindsay. You must be watching a lot of professional wrestling.
I am the wrestling expert. You know this about me. I'm the biggest of fans.
You are. Trevor Lawrence is back. He's going to play against Florida State, 2-6, didn't get beaten up by Notre Dame like his team did, although he did go to the game. It's really all we need to mention.
Well, I mean, did we... he saw the field after? I mean, why would the kids think it's not okay? Because he's there and he was positive, testing positive actively, sure, and taking his mask off to talk to people. So, like, what is happening?
Speaking of the COVID, the Raiders today placed two players on the COVID-19 list. Defensive end Cleland Farrell and cornerback LaMarcus Joyner are now on the list. That COVID list, obviously the reserve list, designated for players who test positive or are considered close contacts of an infected person, this coming ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs game on Sunday Night Football.
We need to have the defenders ready to go, so I hope that it's the latter instead of the former, that they're just, you know, in close contact. They haven't tested positive themselves, but I know that we could do everything right and these positives could still pop up.
Sure.
But it seems like every week we have names that are added to the list. So I'm just asking, what else are we not doing?
There was this morning, I'm going to have to find it. It's going to take me forever to go back to it. But there were only three teams in the NFL who had put absolutely zero players,
yeah,
on the COVID
That's
list.
What I mean. I don't want to roast them for an environment that has changed, but it's not like they have done their whole part.
I'm sorry. There are now two.
There are now two teams that have been untouched by COVID.
Because Washington, the football team there, a player confirmed positive. It was, I believe, the kicker.
Right.
Tested positive. So there's only two left now. As of today, there are only two teams. Can you name either one of those two teams? Just wild guess.
I'm guessing the Rams are one.
The Rams are one of them. Yes, correct. The Rams are one. There's only one other team that is on this list. It wouldn't be 12 teams.
AFC,
it's only
or
two
NFC?
Teams. NFC.
Okay.
NFC teams. Not 12 teams. Just
Seattle.
There you go.
Look at us! And by us, I mean me.
The Rams and Seahawks are the only two teams that have not put anyone on the reserve COVID since the season began.
It's almost like their success as a division might also mirror their success in their fight against the virus. Attention to detail carries over and is intersecting on multiple levels.
Yeah.
Life. So, sports.
Couple of COVID. Some other news for you here. Matt Stafford has a partial tear in the ligament in his throwing hand on his thumb.
He'll play through that because he tried to play through a broken back last year. Right,
apparently, he will start Sunday against the Panthers, who are also going to get Teddy Bridgewater back. He has an MCL sprain. Right now, he's going to go limited tomorrow. See if...
protect Teddy at all costs.
Panthers.
At all costs. Yeah. He's the best of us.
It could be something.
He went to Olive Garden for his birthday party, Paul.
Right.
Literally life goals.
Breadsticks and unlimited salad.
You know where I spent my 21st birthday?
Dairy Queen having a spiked blizzard.
It's not that fancy. Outback Steakhouse. Just the best.
Outback. You have
shoveled
a
brown
onion?
Bread. No, no. Chocolate Thunder from down under,
the
though.
Chocolate Thunder.
G'day.
There. Right. I hadn't heard this until today, and this is an interesting piece that was written in the Denver Post by Mark Kislow, which keeps getting interrupted by ads, which is driving me nuts now. Seriously?
The Mazes is always listening.
It's still
We would like to advertise
up.
That one thing you mentioned offhand two
why
weeks ago.
So,
do you still need
up?
These corn on the cob holders? Because there is a great sale that's happening in just 2 days.
Now that's going to start popping up on my phone.
Well, the Mazes is listening.
Mark Kisel, the Denver Post, suggests if the Broncos really, truly, 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 truly love quarterback Drew Lock, they'll bench him.
Why?
Bench him for the rest of the season.
I thought the true definition of love is letting him go to see if they come back.
Well, that's the...
But no, they want to keep him on retainer and say just you up every 2 weeks.
Vic Fangio, who has played him, and, you know, hey, listen, quarterbacks have to fight through the tough times and whatnot. It's his second year, but what's suggested is he keeps repeating the same stuff. He's making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And he's losing confidence in his game. Where he threw it, where I mean, it was 10-6 against the Raiders.
Yeah.
And instead of getting some points, he ended up throwing a pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw multiple picks in that game against
Vegas. Yo, I've been in the dark, scary place where you feel nothing that you do is going right. Because sometimes that's literally what's playing out. Because it's just that big of a position. And if that's where they're at, where he's losing confidence and it's detrimental to his overall development, hell yeah, a hard reset would be really good. But also, this isn't a guy who's had, you know, a full season of work yet either. You can't really expect him to have success or any kind of thread of consistency, considering the injury that he sustained earlier this year, which if I'm not mistaken, was a shoulder injury.
Correct.
To his throwing shoulder.
Correct.
So I'm guessing that just didn't disappear. And They're, I usually, especially with young guys, I err on the side of let them play out because it's not like they're playing for anything anyway.
No, they aren't playing for anything. And if they bench him for Brett Rypien, and I'm on board with you on this one.
Go to practice reps because that's going to get your confidence. No, like going and throwing a touchdown pass, even if it's the only touchdown pass you throw all day, if it's that one, you know how golf is. You know, if you play an absolute awful round, like 95 and you've already quit, but on the last hole you just hit an unbelievable approach shot where you just pinch and it's perfect, it hits the sweet spot and you're like, I'm ready for another 18.
I remember, yeah, if you have a bad rounds, you always remember a couple of pars.
That's all he needs. You need a reset in terms of something that's going right, like that touchdown pass for Daniel Jones a couple weeks ago. But you're not going to find that confidence away from the field. The coaches could, you know, put some, kind of handle them with gloves a little bit more and help them out. Maybe that's a schematic change. But you got to keep them out on the field. Because you can't, if we're making that decision, well, he's getting too mentally fatigued. Well, then we got the wrong guy in the locker room. I'm sorry. John Elway still can't pick quarterbacks.
Well, Pat Shurmur is the offensive coordinator. Maybe the schemes aren't working either.
But best guy to simplify things for a young quarterback, too. And that's why I'm just like, what's the disconnect? But there's so many injuries on that team as well. Like, of course, I don't understand why people think it's just so easy to just like, yeah, they throw a pass, they catch it, and then they'll gain 10 yards. Like, that's not automatic, right? They've had so much disruption. So I just say let them play. We'll see you next year.
I agree with you. With Drew Lock, just let him go.
Yeah,
this is everyone's gap year.
You say, Drew, you figure it out. Otherwise, we're going to bring somebody in to compete. Or if it's really bad, we're just going to let somebody else take your job. And you see, they did the same thing with Mitch.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ah,
maybe.
Is this feeling? Oh, are you saying like maybe bring in Ryan?
Who knows?
It's not a bad call.
It could be. Could be the way it is. So yeah, that gets you caught up. Lots of football news today. Amazing. Oh, yeah. It just kept coming.
On this Tuesday, day off.
You're right. It was like the big dump of. Like football news today.
You gotta get things off the chest.
Yeah. There's a thought too that the Lord
he has risen.
That Kyle Shanahan expects him to be the starting quarterback next year for the San Francisco 49ers. That he is not going anywhere.
I'm glad that Kyle has decided to walk in the light with the Lord, hand in hand towards success and impeccable cheekbones. I'm very happy that they have maintained a certain level of success and respect this year, although the Lord has been in and out. He's been busy making sacrifices. You know?
Right, true. He's been blessing others.
The Lord has no limit on his blessings, but he does not choose to dole them out at all the times. You have to earn those things, Paul. Right. You can't just buy your way into it.
Well, San Francisco,
all 95 of the theses.
Thinking Jimmy Garoppolo will be starting next year for the 49ers. Again, another gap year for a quarterback.
Yes.
Coming up next, hockey's lowest of low-hanging fruit, still available.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay with you on this Tuesday afternoon, on this 14th day of 20 straight days of either college football or NFL football. We're going to talk about hockey.
Yo, there's the mic.
It's a Maction night, by the way.
A what?
Maction.
A Maction night.
Mid-American conference.
It's football. Like, are the elves and the dwarves fighting in Middle Earth? But no.
No.
It's a Mac matchup.
Buffalo taking on Bowling Green.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bowling for Soup, 1985. Great song. You familiar with the track?
1985?
1985, that song.
Yeah, I remember having that album on CD.
Yeah, it was that's when that song came out, when CDs were still a thing. It was definitely before the now that's what I call music went to double digits. So that just put
double digits. What is now on, by the way?
Oh, it has to be at least like in the 70s, right?
Now
I mean, let's look at it. I'm going to ask Mother
now
Google.
Now that's what I call music. The fact that they went on for now that's what I call country music and now that's what I call Christmas, which is just odd because, you know, there's only 30 actual Christmas songs. And then of those Christmas songs, they've all been covered about 30,000 times.
There's a picture. Well, there's a bunch of pictures of the different volumes. The highest one that I'm currently seeing is 82. I do not know if that is the current iteration.
82?
What are we going to do for the centennial release?
Now that's what I call music centennial. This 100?
Yeah.
I don't know. What they crank these out, every like 4 or 5 months, right?
Right. God, I remember my first Now CD. I think it was like Now 8 or something like that.
8.
There's a lot of Ludacris on that album. It was a great time.
They kind of threw on, like, if there was like one artist, they usually had two songs and maybe like a third song, and then they had like those extra 5 or so at the end. It was
yes.
like the chart, the ones that were,
it's
just
like a remix. It's like, all right, the Ashley Simpson like remix with Missy Elliott.
Ashley,
you're like, it's
Simpson.
A banger. It's
by the
a
way,
banger.
By the way, by saying Ashley Simpson once, I think she just earned like 6 cents.
Yeah, I mean, she needs it.
This is probably like the
she
first time anyone's
it.
Ever said
remember,
Ashley Simpson on an actual radio station.
I
years.
Remember watching her Saturday Night Live, not so live performance unfold live,
the
but not so
thing.
Live.
Right.
The lip syncing.
Yeah, the lip sync hoedown.
Yes. Was not a great choice. It was for Pieces of Me, which is just an absolute classic.
Ashley Simpson now, yep. 12 cents earned.
She has a son named Mowgli with Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy. Facts.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mowgli.
Mowgli.
Mowgli from the Gremlins.
From Jungle Book.
The Gremlins. They named the Gremlin Mowgli, right?
I'm pretty sure Jungle
Mowgli,
Book
right?
is older than Gremlins.
Well,
Jungle Book is like one of the OG
well,
Disney films.
They've remade that thing a
yes,
million times.
Yes, but the original...
Oh, I'm...
Yes.
Mogwai, not Mowgli. Mogwai. There are people like slamming
yeah.
their cars into
yeah,
the media right
Mogwai.
Now.
Mogwai.
Paul, dummy. It's Mogwai.
I mean,
Mowgli.
The plot holes are already there. If you know, feed the animal after midnight. We're always after midnight, technically, aren't we?
Right.
But no, Mowgli is different.
Yes.
Mowgli Wentz and Mowgli from the Jungle Book, but clearly intertwined.
Yeah, you know, yeah, Gremlins was weird. It was such a weird movie.
It was scary.
It was not meant to be either, right?
I know, but it was really scary until they were just like, let's speed this up, and then there was the movie screen
yeah,
scene,
don't
and then it was not so
midnight.
Scary anymore.
I know, that was always one of the weirdest plot twists, is like, yeah, you can't feed them after midnight.
Like,
and
that's
all
when
like,
all the best things are eaten,
they adjusted,
literally.
They adjusted the clock, and like, seriously.
Is it daylight savings time here?
I'm surprised they just didn't run to Jack in the Box for tacos.
Right?
Dude, Jack in the Box tacos are so good.
I've never
good.
Had Jack in the Box.
Oh, at 3 in the morning, they taste so good.
I'm going to take your word for it. We had to watch a film in like middle school that left a stark impression on my like idea of Jack in the Box of some past practices, so we avoid them.
Dude, there's yeah. one like right around the corner. I'm going to get you some tacos.
Still trying not to avoid Culver's, but yet the distance
yeah, well,
just
they're just
keeps
trying to
it
avoid
up.
You at this point.
No, it's okay. I
is
will.
Lindsay coming? Quick,
I
close.
Will get... Las Vegas, a Culver's down here. If
no.
it is the last thing I do,
I'm going to get us a Whataburger first before we get to Culver's.
We have Whataburgers here. Whatever.
We don't have a Whataburger
okay.
here.
Well, no one noticed it anyways. But
no,
we
they
noticed
do.
The
Trust
non-Culver's
me.
Presence. And I promise you, Las Vegas, Nevada, here's what I'm going to run my campaign on.
If you run for office.
We don't care about the budgets. We don't care about any tests. We just want some Butterburgers and some Cot Creek Mixies up in this house.
Woo!
Please, for the love of the Lord. Jimmy Garoppolo, please bring me a Culver's for Christmas. That's all I want.
Probably not. You'll probably get an Eric Howla before you get a Culver's.
Don't say that.
The top remaining unrestricted free agents in hockey, of which there are a number of like actual free agents still available out there, which I'm a little surprised some of these guys haven't landed in places.
Well, nobody is picking anybody up, so if there aren't any chairs, guess who is in standing room only? Eric Howla.
But there has to be chairs available for these guys, you know, who aren't spending a lot of money. And we saw a bunch of names get locked down in the NHL immediately after free agency opened for, like, below market value. Clearly, it was just like, let's
yeah,
sign.
They wanted to get the chairs.
Right, let's sign what we're going to get. But you're looking at guys that, you know, are still available. The one guy that I'm just shocked right now is Anthony Duclair.
Yes.
I mean, really, just he was at a bargain last year, and he's like one of those guys that, you know, can spark plug and score and still, I mean.
He was the only bright spot on that Senators team, and there's really not a whole lot of places of light there. More candles are needed to really, you know, light the area well. But he's one of those guys, and most of these guys that haven't signed, where they've either had a couple of years where their production has dipped and they were making, you know, a considerable amount of money that is no longer there for them, or they're older guys. And so there's a tightening of the middle class across the board in society. And that's the same thing with the NHL. Teams are going to be more likely to give roster spots longer looks and just potential dollars and roster spots, especially this year, to their young guys, because there's just not enough room to move around. Like, why would I sign somebody like Duclair, who's a very good player, but then I'm going to lock him down for the next few seasons. And I don't really know what my team plans are. And he's not exactly, you know, a superstar that I'm willing to bank a lot on. He's just kind of a middle guy. He's your second, third line guy. We're not looking to, you know, spend the last few hay pennies on that just specific position when we don't know what's going to happen and we don't know what injuries we're going to sustain. And so we want to be able to be malleable for in the offseason and in season if they want to make trades.
Small guys, a small amount of guys that are still available, but still talent that's available. And I think that's the important thing. And you look at a Halla who's just sitting out there right now.
Yeah.
And he's not on the other end of the, I guess, the measuring stick for the NHL player who has his ability.
But he's gotten a little bit of a reputation, not anything that he's done, or maybe he has, but you haven't found a home, a stay-at-home home for the last couple of years. And now, he had that with the Vegas Golden Knights, and unfortunately, you know, he broke his leg, and then they traded him the following offseason. But he did not work out in Carolina. He did not work out, you know, in the last couple of seasons. He did not work out. And so, when you don't have that recency bias of that track record,
sure,
why are people going to be willing to not just invest, but go above and beyond, which doesn't look like it in translating to the dollar amount. But the fact, like I said, Paul, the extension of a chair is worth a hell of a lot more than the dollar amount of the contract right now.
There are teams with cap space that are sitting, and I get it, while they're waiting for, you know, the schedule to be settled and the training camps to come back, you know, before obviously the NBA already kind of has its plan in place and the NHL, which seems to be kind of odd to me. It's a little bit weird to me that they haven't gotten their stuff together. You know, that there's been constant talk, and you and I have talked about it, like, nothing to report here, this little nugget comes out, nothing to report here, this little nugget comes out, and it keeps plowing down the road. These guys are just sitting around. Hopefully they're getting some ice time.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's still some value to these guys, and even if they're going to sign for 1 year, knowing we're going into an expansion year anyway, if you do sign them for any sort of decent money, the teams that sign them can be unprotected. I don't see why, if you don't have the space right now, and you know that the youth movement isn't going to be your play regardless, that you wouldn't want to stay hand and a veteran, one of these cats that are still sitting out there, like a Sammy Vatanen.
Yeah, exactly. And it just depends, because it's like, you got to look at it where, you know, a team's position group is. Because if you take like somebody, Eric Howell, as the example, you know, he's a center. There are a lot of teams that are hurting for center, and the team that a lot of people are drawing him to are the San Jose Sharks, because obviously they lost Thornton, Logan Couture, who is coming off of injury. I think Thomas Hertl had surgery as well. But it's just like, is he the guy that you want to sign to that center? Because even if he is a one-year deal, if he's on an expiring deal, you're not exposed then to the expansion draft. So that roster spot is actually worse for those teams, because then you only have your player pool to choose from is even smaller. And so that's why it's just, they're all different reasons why these guys are the guys without a chair at this point. It's the difference of between being on a team and not. And some of these guys are going to have to sign like after the rubber meets the road, after the season gets started, because teams are just going to want to see and how this team shakes out to be, and especially with some of the teams that haven't seen the ice since March. And there's only two teams that were playing all the way to the bitter end as well. So people just want to see what they got before they start bringing in more and more talent, because there's too much uncertainty right now in hockey. We bunker down. We hunker down.
Sure, yeah. And with the financial situations, I totally understand that, the lack of fans in a lot of places and trying to drive the gate that, you know, matters too. And for the teams that, you know, have already spent their minimum cap and don't need to push up against it, knowing that they can kind of stand pat on the available roster or what they've got in front of them, I understand that move too. These are just some question marks that I have, because they're legitimate players. They're legitimate guys. And for people that need a little bit of a punch or a little bit of a lift, you can look at those rosters like, you know, can I do better than the 1.25 that I'm spending on this guy, as opposed to bringing in, you know, like a Duclair?
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation, and they'll find a spot, or they won't, or they'll go overseas, or they won't. But there are losers in big time earth shattering events like this.
Right. Coming up next, as the Wichita State men's basketball coach Greg Marshall exits, there are some thoughts about how we need to start treating ourselves better in the locker room and treating those around us as well. How to coach the kids now? We'll explore that next.
It's Taco Tuesday!
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
I'm actually having that tonight.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Staying festive, you say.
Not festive, just what we eat on Tuesdays at my house.
Little John coming over.
No.
Damn it!
Not even Little
Bob. The invite was rejected again.
Little Sally. No littles coming over.
Those nope. Carrier pigeons, man. You keep sending them. It'll, he leaves you on red receipts,
it,
man.
It won't happen.
It's the worst.
It won't happen.
Snap your fingers. Maybe
just,
that'll work.
I remember, guests of the Playmakers, join us via the CBS Sports Radio 1140 phone line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
What?
The Wichita State Shakas are no longer hanging out with Greg Marshall, who resigned today. There was an internal investigation into allegations of physical and verbal abuse that dated back, and it was apparently just kind of one season where this happened, 2015-2016. Those were the allegations. At least most of them had come out. Full investigations and things like that. Still just allegations, but now the head coach had lost. Some of the things that had come out, a lot of name-calling, which is kind of par for the course. It seems that way with college coaches. You know, I'm going to call you a name, but his name's kind of went a little bit farther than just, hey, you know, slow poke, you know, you're dead last, you need to pick it up, kind of like that.
Well, believe it or not, Paul, it is possible to motivate people and other people without putting them down.
So in the year 2020, in which we have all found ourselves looking at ourselves much differently these days and living in a lot of isolation and kind of wondering, you know, again, the discourse across this country has been unique this year and has calmed quite a bit in the last several weeks, basically because we've had football on every night since Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a different kind of person to be head coach. We all know this. I mean, it takes a different kind of motivation.
Well, anybody can be a head coach, Paul.
It's true, but to be a good head coach and to be a coach that people want to rally behind, and I'm not saying that kids didn't rally behind him. I mean, even when this was announced today, a lot of the current players on this Wichita State team were shocked.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
no pun intended.
They were recruited by him.
Right, and they rallied behind him. They said, this is a coach. This is our coach. This is a guy we came to play for. We believe in him. We've never seen this stuff. It's what it is. But as you step into today's locker room, 2020 athletes, and you talk about the old guard that is transitioning out, we clearly only have a number of older head coaches that are left in the college football ranks and college basketball ranks that have been there forever,
mm-hmm.
you know, but are revered and are seen as, you know, kind of larger than life figures. And some of them still get passes on, you know, doing things.
Lots of people get passes for doing things.
Saying silly things. But as you step into a locker room and you look at the youth around you and, you know, and I'm talking about rec leagues, I'm talking about, you know, kids that are on scholarship or kids that play AAU ball or whatever it is, because for a lot of them, it's a job. You know, because they want to get to the next level, whatever it is, whether they want to go from high school or, you know, I know kids that play on U8 teams, you know, little kids that are ready to take the next step so they can play on larger AAU teams or whatever it is at 14.
Professionalization of youth sports,
right,
you say.
And then move into college sports and eventually professional sports for those select 0.1111111.
Smaller than that.
Who make it to that level? Well, there's a lot of professional sports out there, as we know. We're putting Bassmasters on.
All of them
on
make a lot of money that you can depend on,
right,
for
putting,
your living.
We're putting
sure.
Bassmasters yeah. on television right now.
100%
so
all
you
of
slide,
you can make it.
As you slide yourself, well, there's a belief. I mean, I want to tell my kids not that they can't do anything they want to do.
100%.
You know, believe in that. I get that. But as you walk into a locker room as a coach, as someone who's coached youth, Lindsay, as someone who's coached at different levels, you look at the 2020 landscape and you say, what does it take to talk to a kid these days in a locker room? Is it, you know, because we've had to step back from in-home visits because coaches can't do that right now to recruit these kids? You know, is it making sure that you're on the TikTok? Is it making sure that you're texting them 8 times a day with motivational passages and suggestions to read books?
No, I think it's just treating them with respect and straight up empathy. Like, and I know that that's a buzzword now, empathy or understanding, but it, and I 100% mean the anybody can be a head coach. Because anybody that wants a job like that can go for it. It just, you just need the right permission from the right people. And as much as you could say there's like a reckoning of a way, in a way of 2020, like all of this stuff and bad coaches and bad coaching dynamics, this just doesn't just like pop up out of nowhere. And he's not the only one. There's plenty still in positions of power that still have it. But they're easy to spot if you're looking with the right lens. But it's hard to do because, like you said, Paul, there's people on U8 teams. There's people that are planning their college scholarships, you know, before they're even in middle school. And when you're talking about that and the level of scarcity, as is the 1%, the 1%, the 0.1%, that's how slim it is. People are willing to do whatever it takes to go the extra mile, to not report something, to not say something, to say something. It's just, what are you willing to do to either give your kid the best chance to get wherever the next step is to their overall goal? And the same thing if you're a player in that situation as well. Am I going to be the one that blows the whistle on a coach who's been there for years? Because those reputations follow you around, especially if you're trying to, you know, make the livelihood, if you're trying to take that route. It doesn't take a lot for somebody to blacklist you and for all of a sudden nobody's calling you to go to camps, nobody's calling you to come in for workouts. Like, that's where the inherent, like, inequality is. And so, but now that we're noticing this behavior more and we have more access to people to say, like, hey, I'm having this experience, and once you learn, like, that's not okay, that confidence to come out and say that's not okay, that's important, because it's not just talking about removing someone who's a toxic person. It's like, you can get the goodness that they bring somewhere else that comes at half the cost. Like, you don't have to pay somebody to go away because they're that toxic. We're going to pay you so we can not talk about you, not be associated with you in any way, shape, or form. That says something.
Now, this is the latest in college basketball, where Marshall's out at Texas Tech. They ousted Marlene Stallings, who literally had 2 years of verbal abuse of players, where 12 players left, and her assistants were involved in this as well. This is not a thing. So to transfer this in a little bit different direction, because, listen, we know there are bad coaches, and that's just what it is.
Yep.
So if I'm a parent, and I got a kid who's going into a program like this and is being recruited and is a heavily recruited kid or a lightly recruited kid, whatever it is, Lindsay, in your experience, having been down this road before, how do you spot that stuff? How do you put up the flag? How do you know when there's that little tingle in the back of your head going, this might not be right, you know, for me, for my kids? Because, you know, as they say, you know, in some, you know, organizations, whether, again, it's AAU ball or whether it's a community college, a JUCO, or whatever it is, or talking about the largest Division I, there's always that one, and you said buzzword empathy. There's a different buzzword that comes out there all the time, and it gets thrown out there kind of like candy, and I have a problem with it because not everybody preaches it. It's the word family. We're going to be your family. We're going to be an extension of your family.
And I kind of have a problem with how much we throw that out as well. Because we throw that out whenever we're talking, like, players buying into a team. But we don't have that same type of expectation for the team and their players. Because the minute that the family is under attack, we're going to pay you to go away. We're always going to take care of the certain people. But when it's going to be really tough to spot, because when you're getting recruited, whether it's at the youth level or at the college level, they're trying to sell you. They are trying to coax you in to develop your product, your kid, your whatever.
Right, which can be harder these days because they can't come to your home now. It's Zoom calls. And, I mean, we've seen it in a lot of places where coaches are like, we're just texting now. We just text them like 5 times a day to be in their head.
Well, there's a bunch of different boundaries that you need to kind of put in place. And that coaches, there are rules put in place for that too. But one of the biggest pieces of advice that I always give to kids if they're, you know, getting recruited is that if you hear a coach promise you playing time, or that you're going to play right away, that's a red flag. That's a red flag. It's not indicative of anything insidious, but it's indicative of someone who is willing to give something to someone to convince them to come over to their side without earning it. You should earn these things, because you might be the shiny person now, but not all of us turn into the superstar upperclassmen. Some of us get pushed aside down the road. And so you're trying to see, is this coach fair? Because it's not always going to go to your side. You're not always going to be the starter. There are going to be tough times where you mess up and stuff that you get punished for that's not deserving or that's not deserved. But are they fair? Do they treat people with respect if they bring you out to eat? Do they tip well? Do they talk to the people? Do they talk to the servers, like, with respect? Like, it's normal stuff that you would just take out in your everyday lives. But for some reason, we're willing to forgive or forget certain behaviors or instances because they're on the shiny path to greatness and money. My future's, it's too big of a deal to risk it, to ruffle some feathers. Because that's the thing, we've always known about these coaches, is just we're getting less patient.
Well, sure, finally. and they get buried in the allure of the facility wars in the big arms race when
exactly.
it comes to schools.
Because if you bring me wins, Paul, what else does it matter? We forgive everything. As long as you win.
There's little nuances that you can pick up from head coaches. And obviously assistant coaches fall under a different kind of microscope
yes.
because they're out there on marching orders.
Correct.
You know, and some of them have aspirations too. So, you know, they're playing incredibly by the book and saying all the right things and that kind of stuff. So I always wonder about the inside, just kind of how it is. And, you know, we have, and, you know, and you said it, you know, we're seeing the microscope is getting a little bit bigger. It's not a microscope anymore.
There's nowhere to hide.
We're seeing it. Right. We're seeing it. It's just kind of all out there. More and more people are willing to kind of step up and say, you know what, this coach is kind of a little bit shady. You probably don't want to do that. But again, kids don't walk into that. Boosters don't walk into that when a new coach comes on board. They don't get to see that right away.
Right. But that's why you always have to have your ears perked up. And especially if you're a person that's doing really well or one of the chosen people on the team or your kid is or whatever, your experience is not indicative of everyone else's. You ask the people who aren't getting the most playing time about what their experience is and if they're still having fun in the program, that should tell you something. If they're not and they want to leave, everybody has different reasons and some are more insidious than others. But if you feel included in that, you are producing, that you're an important part of the team, even though you're not one of those people that's suiting up and you feel like you're part of that, that's what a healthy team and coaching staff looks like. That's how it should feel. Anything else, anything short of that, not going to work. So just keep your ears up, keep your eyes peeled, and try to be your best self in the locker room. Because like you said, Paul, it's not like everybody knows. But if you're watching and you're seeing something happen, you got to report it when you can.
Well, as you pick it up and you see it and kids going through the process and adults go through that same process, too. I mean, mm-hmm. ultimately, it is, you know, it's always a group decision when you say it is. And it usually is. But, you know,
Yeah. Everybody
wants to be in a good place.
And just because you were coached a certain way back in the day does not mean that it was OK then, let alone OK right now. And it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the difference between success for your child. So let's just make sure everybody's treating people the way they should be.
We just thought we'd have an interesting conversation, wrap things up.
Appreciate you.
A little bit different take on things, but good to attack some of these issues as they are relevant to what we are dealing with today and what we'll continue to deal with tomorrow. All
mm-hmm.
right. Zach Gelb on the way, along with our good friend JR Sport Brief tonight at 7 o'clock, so stick around for them. Jess is back in the building. I want to thank her for making things sound nice, as well as Mark Bonilla. She is Lindsey Brown. I'm Paul Iander. That's a wrap on the Playmakers for a Taco Tuesday.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.